To the physicians at Mission Hospital, part of St. Joseph Health System, even the smallest, most ordinary moments are sacred. It's time now for Mission Radio. Here's Melanie Cole.
And this is Paul Cavalcante here for Melanie today. And no matter what your age, adopting a healthy lifestyle can dramatically decrease your risk of getting heart disease. It can be a very preventable disease. And my guest today is Dr. Daniel Kulik, who is a board-certified cardiologist at Mission Hospital. Welcome to the show, Dr. Kulik. I'd like to talk about some of the basics of preventing heart disease. And my first question for you is there anything new or unexpected in developments about our understanding of heart disease that's come up within the last couple of years?
Well, I think we've learned a lot more about the role that inflammation can make on the development of, you know, what typically people call hardening of the arteries or atherosclerosis. We don't entirely yet know how we can incorporate that into our treatment. So really, we really haven't anything new in terms of, we know what the basic risk factors are. We're working on some research protocols here at Mission for new kinds of therapy for lowering cholesterol in addition to our kind of standard statins that we've had for 20-some-odd years. So we're really just trying to refine on, you know, controlling the risk factors that we know about and doing the best we can with those.
The word inflammation brings to mind a lot of things that are discussed in alternative medicine therapies or treatment through nutrition or behavior modification. Can you tell us more about the potential relationship there?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that question? I apologize.
Inflammation is something which may or may not be related to nutrition and lifestyle changes?
To be honest, I'm not an expert on that. I think, though, we do know that, you know, so many of the things that we talk about that are bandied about for the inflammation, I mean, are things that we would recommend anyway in terms of, you know, healthy lifestyles, healthy nutrition, good exercise, keeping your weight down. You know, I'm not aware of what effect that has on inflammation per se.
Where does our cholesterol level play a part in heart disease risk?
It's probably one of the biggest ones. There's basically five conventional risk factors, and there's genetics, which there isn't much we can do about, but a large part of what we're destined for is what, you know, our parents and grandparents, you know, had. We can certainly modify, though. There's four risk factors that can be modified. There's diabetes, which can be modified with weight reduction and with medication. High blood pressure, similarly with exercise, weight reduction, diet, medication. And then the two biggest ones that people can take an active role is their cholesterol and smoking. If there's any degree of smoking, that should be stopped. In terms of cholesterol, we don't look so much anymore at the total cholesterol levels because I know people focus on that a lot. We really focus on the HDL and the LDL, the HDL being the good cholesterol, the LDL being the bad cholesterol. And to give a level of the importance of that, is up until about 10 to 15 years ago, our goal for the bad cholesterol, the LDL, was to be less than 130. And you'll still see on a lot of lab slips that patients get back, the reference will say to be less than 130. We learned about 15 years ago that if you're less than 100, you can cut your risk of a heart attack or death by more than 50% versus between 100 and 130. And that's when everybody for a long time thought 100 was better. Then about 4 or 5 years ago, it was found out that people below 80 did better than people below 80 and 100, and again with a significant reduction in cardiac events. And if you take it a step further and look at populations where they virtually never get heart disease, these are populations that don't eat any processed foods. It's basically whatever they can grow or catch, very primitive type cultures. They generally have LDLs in the 50s and 60s. So there's no question that every 10 or 20 points you can drop your LDL, you can significantly improve your cardiac risk, and for the patients that requires healthy eating, exercise, and a good weight, very often, though, particularly when there's a genetic element, we have to supplement with medication. And the medications that we have for cholesterol are the most effective I have seen, sort of antibiotics for infectious disease, during my career in medicine.
Dr. Kulik, let's talk about salt, because it really takes a beating. Is it a cause? Is it a risk factor? Or is it just something that needs to be eliminated if you have pre-existing high blood pressure or coronary artery disease?
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things, like, for example, you can say tobacco you can eliminate. It's hard to completely eliminate salt, but generally you want to, for a healthy lifestyle and forms of blood pressure and things like that, you probably want to keep your sodium consumption daily under 2 to 3 grams. Now, if your blood pressure is on the low side and you're healthy, that becomes a little less important, but if your blood pressure tends to run on the high side, reducing your salt can either eliminate the need for blood pressure medicine or can reduce the amount of blood pressure medicine you need. If you have any degree of what we call congestive heart failure or heart muscle weakness or a tendency to retain fluid, then salt is a huge villain and definitely ought to be kept under 2 grams per day.
Doctor, we know that exercise is good for us. Does housework, running up and down stairs, walking to the train, skipping a cab, et cetera, do those things kind of count as exercise? When we talk about exercising to reduce the risk of heart disease, is it working out at the gym or just being active or a combination of both?
It's probably a combination of both. We do know that at least 3 to 4 sessions per week of continuous aerobic exercise, generally like working out at the gym, not lifting weights, but doing something like a treadmill, a Stairmaster, an elliptical, a recumbent bike, for 30 minutes to get your heart rate to approximately 70% of what your maximum predicted is, which is easily calculated, is the most beneficial. Adjuncting to that, any extra stuff you can do, if you can go up a couple flights of stairs, if you can park as far away from the store in the parking lot as possible, any extra walking you do is definitely beneficial, both in terms of your heart, in terms of also just keeping weight down, keeping yourself active. But generally, if you can do it at least 3 to 4 sessions a week of a continuous 30 minutes, and a lot of people think, well, if they walk outside just walking for 30 minutes, it has to be enough that it's exercise. It shouldn't be so much that, you know, you're huffing and puffing and can't talk, but it shouldn't be something so relaxing you could carry on a complete phone conversation while you're doing it. It should be a bit more than that.
Okay, doctor, so tell us a little bit, what are your favorite heart-smart foods that you would like everybody to try and eat every day?
Certainly, you know, fish is very good. Poultry is very good. You know, surprisingly very lean pork and beef, if there's not a lot of fat, is not a terrible thing. In terms of fruits and vegetables, what I try and tell my patients is without doing a full, like, low-carb diet, trying to eliminate as much of the so-called white foods as possible. Things like sugar, bread, pasta, white rice, things like that, they tend to play a large role in diabetes and high triglycerides and things like that. So that, in adjunction to exercise, can be very effective in keeping weight off, but not in terms of things like fruits and vegetables. Even though those have carbohydrates, those are extremely healthy for the heart. Also, things like nuts and the other things you see in the Mediterranean diet are very healthy.
Dr. Kulik, is baby aspirin a day still a good idea?
There's a lot of, the jury is out on that. And people who have had any kind of artery disease, whether they've had carotid artery disease, heart disease, something like that, then there is no question that an aspirin a day is good. When we're talking about primary prevention, meaning you just have risk factors but have never had a documented blockage, the data seems to suggest that it may be more beneficial in men than in women, because anytime you take any medication, there is a risk of a complication. In the case of aspirin, it could be minor bleeding. And at least in women who seem to have a slightly lower incidence of heart disease, and I would emphasize slightly, the risk benefit, in other words, the risk of bleeding is pretty comparable to the amount of things that you would prevent with the aspirin. So for women, it's not clear that a preventative aspirin is a good idea, but if there's any degree of blockage, then it is a very good idea.
Do you feel that exercise and nutrition are equally important, Dr. Kulik? Do you feel one is more important than the other?
I think probably from a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week perspective, nutrition is probably more important, but I don't want to downplay the exercise, but if you exercise and eat horribly, you'll rapidly negate any benefit from the exercise. But I think the exercise is a valuable adjunct, both in terms of keeping the heart healthy and really in particular just keeping the weight off. You know, so much of the problems that we see, whether it's diabetes, heart disease, blood pressure, sleep apnea, things like that, so much of that is related to obesity, which is becoming, you know, more and more prevalent in our population.
Well, it certainly is, and heart disease being the number one killer of women and becoming such an epidemic in this country. In the last minute, please give us your best advice for preventing heart disease, Dr. Daniel Kulik.
The best advice I can give people for preventing heart disease is to eat nutritiously, exercise, keep your weight down, don't smoke if you do. Go to your doctor, get some blood work, get a good breakdown of your cholesterol panel to assess what your risk factor profile is, and just try and maintain that as a way of life, not like crash diets and then putting weight back on, but just a daily healthy diet, exercise several times a week, and check in with your doctor periodically for blood work and follow his or her advice.
Thank you so much, Doctor. You're listening to Mission Radio. For more information, you can go to missionforhealth.com. That's mission, the number 4, health.com. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks for listening and have a great day.